Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast, episode 175. NHL trade deadline earlier today came to a close with, I don't know, an adequate amount of moves, I guess. It was a little bit slow to get the day going on, but yeah, seems like everybody waits till the last minute, and a few go through, but a lot of guys don't move.
Yeah, well, do you see the news of this Dadonov thing? Apparently he submitted his 10-team no trade, and the Ducks were on that list, so like, apparently that trade can't go through. And that's going to be interesting if it doesn't go through, because Dadonov doesn't get traded unless you're bringing Stone FLTIR. Like, you're not clearing $5 million for Ryan Kessler's contract, which is going to go on LTIR, if you're not bringing off Stone early.
Well, the whole plan.
If that doesn't go through, that could throw a wrench in Vegas' plans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
But you don't wait till the last hour to put that trade through. You know what I mean? That's a three team trade. That's something that gets done yesterday.
No,
right?
That's just a two team trade.
Oh, I thought there was somebody else involved. That was the other one.
John Moore and Ryan Kessler's contract for a conditional second and Dadonov.
Yeah.
Did you see Luongo's tweet?
No, I didn't.
He said, It's always tough seeing a former teammate get traded. Best of luck to Ryan Kessler in Vegas.
Yeah. So. I don't know. Well, weird, crazy day. A lot of moves, but not, I don't know, nothing too overwhelming. One thing I did see overwhelming over the weekend, college hockey, a championship game in the CCHA has an overtime goal.
Yeah.
Minnesota State celebrates. 40 minutes later, it was reviewed. It was deemed a good goal. 40 minutes later, they deemed that it wasn't a good goal. Players had to get dressed again, come back out for a five-minute warm-up, and resume the overtime, which Minnesota State did win again and advanced to the NCAA Final 16. But I don't know that I've ever seen a team in the locker room have to come back out.
No, well, because you're talking the one that went under the net.
Yeah.
So they review that during the game?
Yes.
And they, like, there was no angle that they could see that?
No.
That seems odd to me. Like, you would think that there would be at least one.
There wouldn't.
Like, the overhead angle was pretty clear cut, no?
I didn't get to see it.
Oh. Yeah, I saw the overhead angle, and I saw that go under the net. But, I've never seen anything like that. Been a couple of things that I haven't seen a lot of. We were down 5-0 in Prince George with 6 minutes left and came back to win in overtime, which never seen that before. So lots of shit going on here.
You know, I watched After Hours on Saturday night. Bruce Boudreau was on there, and that guy's a good interview. I felt bad for him on the interview because he knows he doesn't have the team. And I just felt bad when he said, I got 24 hours to figure this out. And for a guy that I know, like, freaking does everything in his heart to put the best team out there every single night, you got to feel for the guy, because he just was at a loss on Saturday night.
Well, it's what's the saying? It's hard to make a chicken salad with chicken shit. Is that the saying?
They played like chicken shit on Saturday.
They got pieces that you just like, they're just cap strapped. They have no complimentary pieces right now. Demko is just, if he doesn't play amazing, it doesn't seem like they can win games. It's like,
well, they don't work hard for each other.
No, it's
they don't.
They had a couple good stretches where they won 7 of 8 or 8 of 9 or whatever, and then
they got one guy that lays his heart on the line, and that's JT Miller, and the rest of your guys.
You think he lays it on the line?
I do. I think that's why he's. I think that's one of the reasons why he's hated in the locker room too.
I mean, I kind of see it both ways, but like sometimes he's quitting on plays and not.
Oh no, I've seen that too. I've seen that too.
It's like, I don't know. There's got to be something going on there. They end up trading a well liked guy in Monoway. I mean, he's a guy that works his ass off every shift. And went. Did you see the news that came out about Travis Hamonic?
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in the.
That phrase. Was very telling. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if I believe a lot of those either.
Yeah, Vancouver media likes to blow stuff out of proportion.
I'm not saying there's no truth to it. It's just funny how when a guy's gone, everything gets amped up just a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. On today's episode, we'll review the whole NHL trade deadline, talk about all the moves, talk about all the signings, talk about the ups and downs of the NHL season, go around the league. 1,000 scratches for a couple players and Ekblad, goal-getters. Carlgren to save the day in Toronto, and Andre Kasa gets drilled. Was it dirty or was it not? Lots of deadline trades to talk about. Let's pull them up and we'll start from the start. We're not going to talk about the ones that happened a week or two ago when teams got at it early. I did catch a snippet of Brad Treliving today talking about what Brian Burke and him had, or what Brian Burke had talked to him about. He's like, sometimes you don't like driving in rush hour, and that's what deadline day is. Sometimes it's nice to leave work at 2. And that's what Calgary pretty much did with the Toffoli and Yarncroc, which they just kind of got out ahead of things. And other teams do that, too. I'm just using that one as an example. But lots of moves today, but the morning was slow. Let's rewind a little bit into the days leading up to trade deadline, as the weekend probably was more exciting than the Monday itself was. For moves, and it all kind of started with Claude Giroux as he gets moved to the Florida Panthers for Owen Tippett, a 2024 first-round pick, and a third-rounder in 2023. Florida gets Claude Giroux, which is a pending UFA, a 2025 fifth-round pick, Connor Bunneman and German Rupstoff, which I don't know, those are just kind of throw-ins, I guess. But, yeah, I thought the package was a little steep. I think Philly did pretty good because they really, in essence, got two number ones.
Yeah, Tippett's a first-round asset, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty big for a guy that's probably not, well, you know, we don't know. But at his age, I don't know, would they even want him to sign in Florida? I mean, That's a pretty big haul, I thought.
Yeah, but when you're Florida and you have an opportunity to add a player like Giroux, I think that you go and do it. I mean, he's a versatile guy. He can play center. He can play right wing. He can play first unit power play. It just makes that a lot deeper. Takes some pressure off guys like Sam Reinhart, Verhaeghe. The list goes on. Now Barkov has a legit winger to play with. Not that Verhaeghe and Reinhart aren't legit, but Drew's a more proven guy. Like, he scored 100 points in the league, and I think Owen Tippett. I think it'd be a good fit in Philly. I like Tippett's game. He got a pretty fair shake in Florida this year. He played 40 games. So, yeah, I think he'll step in Philly and probably play in the top six role right away, and then they get a first and a third back. So
and Owen Tippett. That's a haul. I mean, that's a big haul.
I mean, Philly's going to get more back when you retain half the salary, too. So
I get that, but
I take that into consideration, too.
That's probably why the third was thrown in, but that's a 2023 third, which everybody's talking about that draft, but third round, I don't know how relevant that is, but another early one that hit the books on the 19th was Hampus Lindholm goes to the Boston Bruins for Cody Curran, and Cody Curran, another defenseman, for a 2022 first, a 2023 second, a 2024 second. God, some of these names are rough.
Vaakahainen
and John Moore, two defensemen. So the return on this one, it's still steep. At least they got Lindholm signed, and he's younger.
Yeah, so 8 years too. So
I get this one a little bit more than I do the Giroux one, I guess. This one made a little bit more sense.
And Boston needs to be bad.
They're getting a good one.
Well, they lost Krug a couple of years ago, and they haven't really filled his void in that top four. So he's going to step in, play big minutes. I was kind of surprised that Jake DeBrusk wasn't in this deal. I kind of thought that he would have been going the other way. Good young player, 24 years old, kind of wants out of Boston. I don't know much about the Vaakahainen guy, but I mean, Anaheim's had a good year. And they're kind of like retooling on the fly. Like they're good. They got a good young nucleus.
Well, they've been in a rebuild now. This is kind of year two of a rebuild, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I know. But like, if you had an opportunity to get a first and 2 seconds to kind of kickstart your drafts, I mean, I think you got to do it. I mean, Hampus Lindholm's a good player.
Well, he wasn't going to re-sign there anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it's like kind of like one of those things. It's like, yeah, we probably want Hampus Lindholm, but if he's not going to re-sign here, we might as well cut our losses and get something, right? Yeah. I don't know. I think this one pretty much works for both teams. This is probably a really good hockey trade in essence.
It was. I don't know much about that Curran guy.
I don't know anything about him, to be honest with you. One other one from pre-deadline.
Talk about the big one, the Hagel one.
Yeah, that's what I'm pulling up right now. Tampa Bay receives Brandon Hagel, left wing, a 2022 fourth rounder, a 2024 fourth rounder from the Blackhawks in return. The Blackhawks get a 2023 first rounder, a 2024 first rounder, Boris, God, these names.
Duke.
Yeah, whatever, a left wing, and Taylor Radish, a right wing. The 2023 and 24 first round picks are top 10 protected, which they're not going to be top ends if it's the Tampa Bay Lightning. But, holy cow, another haul, I think.
Yeah, no. You saw him do this 2 years ago with Coleman and Gaudreau. So, and you get 2 years of Hagel, young guy, 23 years old, 24 years old, undrafted free agent, signed out of the Western League. Good for him. Good for him to really put himself on the map and get a haul for Chicago. I mean, you saw Taze's comments. He said if a guy like Hagel isn't part of the rebuild here, like I don't think anybody's safe. And I think he's got a point. Like you would think that you would keep Hagel, but I mean, like you get an offer like that, you can't say no to that. Two prospects.
Do you think Jonathan Taze wants to be in Chicago right now?
Well,
and I'm not ripping on him by saying that. I'm just being truthful here. I by his body language, by some of the comments he made this year and last year, he's questioned management twice in 2 years. I don't think he's happy.
Well, I mean, like, he kind of made his bed. He got to lay in it, though. He's getting $10.5 million. Not many people are going to take Taze at $10.5 million.
No, I know.
He's only got 2 years left.
But he's not bitching and saying, I want out of here, though, either, though, Blake. I said I'm getting the feeling based off some of his comments in the media that he doesn't like some of the moves that management's making, although it's not his choice to like him or dislike him. But, I mean, I think he's right in this one. I know you're getting a haul on draft picks, but, and we'll talk about it a little bit later in one of my three questions to you about how draft picks pan out, but that just seems like you're giving up a guy you know what you got that can play well. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think the return's fine. I don't know. I think I agree with Jonathan Taze. It's like, well, what are we doing here? He's not an old guy. Like, we're just shoveling to the side here. He's like kind of the youth.
Right. Yeah. Well, he's been there for a long time, so he's kind of earned that right to say what he wants. You know what I mean?
No, like, I know. He's professional about it, but I just get the gut feeling he's not happy. But, oh, well, that's a topic for another day. Two other trades I just pulled up that I have to talk about that are before the deadline. Ben Chiarot goes to Florida for Tyler Semolinik, a 2023 first rounder and a 2022 fourth rounder. Is Ben Chiarot the answer?
Well, we talked about that, what, two pods ago? That
I think so.
He was going to get it first, and we were right. So, yeah, it didn't surprise me, the type of return. The guy showed me he can do in the playoffs last year when it gets tough. He's physical. He can skate. He's big. He's 6'3". Yeah, it's some size on the back end. Yeah, he's gonna be a really good fit there. I really like the move. I thought that Toronto should have maybe got in there, but instead of getting Giordano, I would have rather got Chiarot than Giordano, to be honest. I know you didn't get a first to get Giordano, but I think that would have been a better fit for Toronto.
I think I would rather have Chiarot to over Giordano, but Giordano, Toronto got a better deal.
Right.
And I think he's
from there. He gets to reunite with TJ Brody. Like, oh. I see, I don't know.
It's a pairing.
Giordano played some of his best hockey with Brody as his partner. I mean, you know that better than anybody. You watched him.
Yeah.
Did he not win the Norris?
Yeah, but it sure as hell wasn't because of TJ Brody. It was because he was bailing Brody out all the time.
Just like the comfortability of having a partner like that, it'll make the transition a little easier.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think we'll get to that trade. another early one, Calgary picks up Cali Yarncroc from the Seattle Kraken for a 2022 second, a 2023 third, and a 2024 seventh half salary retained. I thought a solid move for Calgary. He was a guy I kind of had penciled in for the last month, I guess, and kind of wanted him as kind of that middle six plugger that can put in the puck and work his ass off, and I think that's a fairly decent move.
He's your second line center's first game?
No, he played third line center.
Third line center.
But our lines don't have numbers, though. I mean,
yeah, he can kind of play on the wing. He can play up in the lineup with good players. You saw that in Nashville when he was there. So, yeah, I like the pickup. He's a pending UFA.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yes. Calgary picks up Toffoli, Yarncroc. Were you kind of surprised they didn't add like maybe one more depth D?
No, I wasn't. When I saw the price tags on him, I'm like, well, we don't have any more picks to give up. Like the price tags,
even like a Justin Braun.
We have a Connor Mackey, a Michael Stone, a Yusuf Valimaki. I mean,
yeah, but like
they're all better than Braun. They're all better than him.
Yeah.
You know, like True Living said today, he's like, I'm not giving up more assets for lateral moves.
Yeah.
I have those plugs. I have those fillers. Yeah, they have nine defensemen in Calgary that are NHL ready.
Yeah.
I'd like to have 10, yeah, but was I surprised? Kind of, because, shit, every year Treliving brings in Oscar Fantenberg at the deadline, you know, and, like, but nobody that we were going to bring in is going to go into our top six right away.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, you know, it was kind of a dance on what you do there. Couple other moves that happened right before the deadline. Robert Hägg, defenseman, goes to Florida from Buffalo for a 2022 sixth round pick.
Mm-hmm. Another big guy.
Another big guy, yeah. Florida's smart. I mean, they're adding size. They understand what lies ahead, and I think Florida's setting themselves up
Florida
very well.
Florida understands they have to go through the gauntlet. You're either going to have to go through Carolina, Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. So they're beefing up. They're getting ready. So
there's a lot of teams that are getting ready in the East. Boy, there were some big moves today that changed a lot.
Well, everybody made moves except Toronto.
Shocker. So, One move Toronto did make was the other day they brought in Mark Giordano, which we just talked about, along with left winger Colin Blackwell from the Seattle Kraken for a 2022 second, a 2023 second, and a 2024 third. We don't need to go a whole lot into this one because we kind of just did, but Gio will be a decent defenseman.
Maybe a solid, serviceable 5-4-5 guy.
He'll be able to do power play for Toronto. They need that. They need somebody out there.
Until Muzzin gets back, and apparently Sandin is getting put on LTIR, I just read. So he'll probably be their top four guy. He'll probably play behind Riley until Muzzin comes back. Then he'll either slide over to the right side or play third pairing. I mean, let's face it, the guy's definitely lost a step the last couple of years. He's not the Giordano of old where he was in Calgary winning the Norris and stuff. So,
but yeah, still a serviceable player.
Third isn't too much to give up.
No. Vancouver makes a move. I went ahead. Yeah, they made a move. Sending Travis Hamonic to the Ottawa Senators for a 2022 third-round pick. Let's dive into this one a little bit more than we normally would for a defenseman like Travis Hamonic. I loved Hamonic when he was in Calgary, and then he pulled out for the COVID thing, and I don't know how I know how I felt about that. I don't know how the team felt about that. I didn't think there was a safer place to be than in the bubble, but I guess that's a story we hashed over 80,000 times that we don't need to go into again. But I always thought of Travis Hamonic as kind of like a high maintenance guy that would do anything for his team, but I always wanted something more. He wanted to move from the Islanders out west for family reasons, which is understandable. We all have families. But then didn't stay in Calgary, went on up to Vancouver, had issues, and you probably know more than me on that, where he was in the lineup, out of the lineup, not on the roster, on the roster.
He was unvaccinated for the first quarter of the season, so he couldn't even play in the States. So, that's another issue, but I don't know.
I don't know. Didn't it seem very troublesome up in Vancouver?
Yeah, when a tweet comes out and says that the players were ecstatic that he's out of the locker room, it's kind of like, whoa.
Yeah. You know, wouldn't it be fun to, you know, and I, like we talked about it before I went on the show, like, I take those for being maybe partially truthful, and you don't know how much of it's true. It might all be true. We don't know. But I think where there's smoke, there's fire, so I believe most of those, to an extent, you know. I would love to be able to go into every locker room and just kind of be a fly on the wall and see who, because there's guys in every locker room that I'm sure don't gel. You know what I mean? I'd love to know the Dougie Hamilton stories in Calgary, and you know, every team has them. But anyways, Travis Hamonic.
This is a pretty good tidy business by Vancouver. They ship out Travis Hamonic's $3 million. And get their own third-round pick back. Why is that important, Brad? Now they can go out and offer-sheet somebody if they wanted now.
Yeah.
Because they have a first and a third for compensation.
Unfortunately, it won't happen, Blake, because it won't happen anymore. I mean, you always want
them. You know what I would want? You know what I would want? Offer-sheet. Give an offer-sheet to old Noah Dobson. Right-handed defenseman. Boy, that would be nice. But, no, that's wishful thinking. But, then they go out and trade a third-round pick for Travis Dermott, who's under contract for next season.
I like that move.
For half the term as Hamonic's making. So they free up $1.5 million cap for next season. Travis Dermott, a guy that can skate. He's not overly well defensive in his own zone, but he's only 25 and they got him for this year and next year, so they get a look at him this year. And he's a young defenseman that can skate, and we'll see how he fits in.
I actually like that move for Vancouver. I like him.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a good one.
Okay.
We'll cruise through a couple more here. The Kings get Troy Stetcher for a seventh rounder from Detroit.
Stetcher had pick up your Kings. Plays hard.
He does. I always liked him when he's in Vancouver.
Yeah, he's undersized. But he battles, and there's not much more you can ask. I mean, you probably watched him a lot when he was with North Dakota, I'd imagine.
Yeah, and he was the same there as he was in Vancouver. He's like the guy that you underestimate him, but boy, the guy works his ass off and was quite effective, really. I mean, I loved him when he was. I mean,
Vancouver let him go for $800K, which
is crazy because I thought he was a hard worker in Vancouver, you know, and I thought he was pretty solid too. I mean, I never was like when we played Vancouver.
Yeah, I think it's a great pickup for a seventh round pick.
Absolutely. Rolling on here, Tampa Bay gets Nick Paul, left winger from the Ottawa Senators, for Matthew Joseph and a 2024 fourth rounder. I like this pickup for Tampa. Nick Paul's a big body.
How old is Joseph, though?
That's a good question.
He's 25, so he's 2 years younger. I don't know. This trader doesn't really make sense to me.
They want size.
They're like the same player, though. Are they not?
I don't know. Nick Paul was a guy that came onto the scene this year where, like, I really didn't know much about him. And then all of a sudden this year I'd watch Ottawa play and I'd see things and I'd like it. I know one game against Calgary, he was a force. He scored 2 goals and was like, who is this guy? You know, but I watched him play a couple other times.
6'3".
He's just physical, though. He's a physical, mean guy. He plays a mean game.
Joseph 6'1", so yeah, he's a little bigger, but
I just think what Tampa's looking at here, and I mean, I don't know, and we're pretending we know what the GMs are thinking, but I think what they're thinking is, hey, this is gonna, you know, Florida's getting bigger every day with the additions they were having. Everybody's getting bigger. Like, we need to make sure that we got some big bodies up front that are gonna bang those defensemen on the forecheck.
Yeah.
Cruising on down, we can cruise through some of these here that are somewhat irrelevant. Scott Wedgwood, goaltender, goes to the Dallas Stars for a fourth rounder from Arizona. I'm thinking to myself when I saw this, how many goalies does Dallas need? But they've lost Bishop. They've lost Hudobin.
Hudobin's out for the year.
I know.
Holpe's hurt.
I know.
So they only have one goal. They have what's name who played North Dakota? Shield.
Yeah, they have him.
Shield's their backup right now, so they need
somebody. I like Ottinger.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, I like Ottinger. Cruise along. Mason Appleton heads back to the Winnipeg Jets from the Seattle Kraken for a fourth rounder in 2023. He was a guy picked up in the expansion draft, and I like him. I know exactly why Winnipeg went out and did this, because he's good.
Well, okay, let's get into all of Winnipeg's trades then, if we're going to talk about this, because they kind of...
Well, they're all right in a row here. They all happened within a few minutes of themselves. They sent Nathan Beaulieu to Pittsburgh for a seventh rounder, and they also sent Brian Little and Nathan Smith to Arizona for a fourth rounder.
Yeah, and then they trade Kopp.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. That one's one I got to talk about. That's one of the big ones from today.
Well, I told you he's getting traded last week.
We both knew that.
No, you said they're going to extend him.
I said they would love to, but I don't think they have the resources to do it. And I don't think he wanted to stay there, to be honest with you. I bet you there wasn't one person in the Winnipeg office that didn't want to re-sign him, because he's a good player. But sometimes players don't want to be there, or you don't have the money, you know? Washington Capitals get Marcus Johansson back from the Seattle Kraken for Daniel Sprong, a 2022 fourth rounder and a 2023 sixth rounder. I don't really know what I thought. When I saw this one, I was just like, okay, whatever. Did you think anything?
Yeah, well, Sprong's a pretty good 5-on-5 player for them. I was kind of surprised he gave him up. Marcus Johansson has kind of been injured as of late.
Does he not seem old to you?
Johansson?
Yeah.
It seems like 31?
I know, but he seems like he's been around forever.
Well, he was in Boston for all those years. He was in Washington before, I swear, no?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, he was there he was there.
Oh, did he win the cup?
I thought he was on the cup team. I was just, when you were saying that, I was thinking the same thing.
I don't remember.
Let's roll on into
that. They also picked up Johan Larsson, too.
Yep.
For a third-round pick.
Yeah.
That's a depth defenseman.
Let's roll on into the big one. And that was the Chicago Blackhawks sending Marc-Andre Fleury to the Minnesota Wild for a 2022 first-round pick. Chicago's 2022 second-round pick is conditional and becomes a first-round pick if Minnesota makes it to the conference final and Fleury wins 4 games in the first 2 rounds.
No, the second becomes a first, right?
Yes, the second becomes a first.
Yeah.
If that all happens.
Yeah.
I thought this was
I think
fair return.
I think Cam Talbot, he's been around the game for a long time. I mean, he's probably a little upset.
I would be mad because he's been good.
He's been good, but it's been proven that it never hurts to have a good 1A, 1B because, first of all, they're going to push each other. And that's something that Vegas has missed this year. They don't have that security blanket this year. So, say, Cam Talbot gets hurt. Kaapo Kähkönen's been good this year, but now you have a legit Vezina winning goalie there just in case.
But I'm just afraid that, and I'm a Talbot fan, and I think Fleury is really good too. The only reason I'm a Talbot fan is because this guy has went through it all, and he's proved in the playoffs he can play well, and he's been good this year.
He shut off Vegas tonight, so I don't think that.
We're jumping ahead here a little bit, but who do you think starts their opening round game? Like, if it was tomorrow, who would you start?
It'd be Talbot.
You would, huh?
Yeah.
Now, that'll be interesting.
I don't mind the move. You really don't give up much. And Minnesota, yeah, you could have said they should have used their first and maybe go out and get something else because they're pretty solid in net. Because I think they look at this and say, you know, we got all this dead money on the cap the next couple of years. Why not just try and go for it now? I don't know.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. The Wild and the Shocker send goaltender Kaapo Kähkönen to the San Jose Sharks, along with a fifth rounder in 2022 for Jacob Middleton, a defenseman. I just couldn't believe they traded him.
I'm not surprised. I mean, you're not going to carry three goalies. He would have had to clear waivers. You go out, you get Middleton, who's a 6'4" defenseman. Another guy with size, right shot. I mean, I think it's a pretty good trade.
Yeah, I don't know. I just say they spoke so highly about
him. Yeah, Kapanen's young, but like...
That's what I was thinking. I mean, they spoke so highly about
him. You can't put him in the A, and you're not going to keep him up in the NHL, and he would have lost him on waiver, so, I mean, they really had no choice.
I mean, if I was in Minnesota management, I would have been fine with him and Talbot going into the playoffs, and then I'd have spent the money on, or the pick on getting another solid center or winger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't see anything wrong with those two goalies, and... I mean, it's crazy, but the move that kind of cracked me up today because the way people were on Twitter when this one went down, I was wondering if I had missed something over the years. But Brett Kulak goes to the Edmonton Oilers for a second rounder in 2022, a seventh rounder in 2024, and William Legason, a defenseman.
It's only Legason and a seventh, though. Because they only get the second round pick if the Oilers go to the finals, and that ain't happening.
Well, yeah, okay, that's not happening.
So it's a young D man and a seventh for Kulak. I mean,
but Kulak
plays both sides.
I know.
he's a good skater. I liked him in Montreal.
People acted like he was Bobby Orr today.
Yeah, I know.
God, I was like, guys.
But yeah, it's funny how like they're like, oh my god, they gave up a second.
He was on
waivers. Read the fine print, folks.
He was on waivers 2 years ago. I mean, like, holy crap.
Well, I mean, talk about a team that needed a goalie. Why didn't they trade for Kähkönen?
Wedgwood?
Nah, Wedgwood's not a lateral move.
Well, I'm not saying.
I will say this, though. Like, we've been poking fun at Edmonton's goalies a lot. Koskinen's been pretty damn good.
Yeah, we talked about it last episode. He hasn't been bad at all. I don't know if he can do it in the postseason, though. But I don't know. You're right, though. Like, a Koskinen would have made way more better.
Lost control. He's an RFA next year.
You could try to pit him as your goalie of the future, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, then you would have a couple goalies, him and Stuart Skinner. Like,
yeah.
Would have been bad.
Yeah, a little bit of a chance of a future there. Letty heads to St. Louis along with Luke Witkowski, a right winger, for Jake Wallman, Oscar Sundquist, a right wing, and a 2023 second round pick to Detroit.
Yeah, Letty's kind of been around for a while. good depth guy. Yeah, I don't really know what to make of that. I like Sundquist. He's not bad.
I like Sundquist, too. I think Detroit did okay on this one.
Yep.
Andrew Cogliano.
EBY kept built, stocking up them picks.
He's good. Andrew Cogliano heads to the Colorado Avalanche for a fifth rounder. I mean, depth forward, yep. I guess.
Guy that is durable, can still skate, been around for a long time. Could be a good fit there. I thought they would have got somebody else, but I don't know.
I'm not going through every single trade here. We're just talking about some of the key ones.
Well, we got to talk about Lehkonen in there for talking about Colorado. Because they get Lehkonen for Braun in a second.
Yeah.
I thought Montreal did good there. I mean, Braun's one of their top right-handed defensive prospects.
Yeah.
They probably didn't want to trade Lehkonen, but I thought Kent Hughes did pretty good with that one.
He'll make a bigger Lehkonen will be a bigger factor for the Avalanche.
Well, yeah, he'll probably play on their second line.
Yeah.
With Kadri and
he's going to fill Tyson Jost's spot, right?
He'll probably play with Kadri and Nick Justin or who's that other guy? The guy's name.
Vancouver trades Tyler Motte, left winger, to the New York Rangers for a 2023 fourth round pick. Another what I would say a great pickup for the Rangers. You're getting a hard nosed, gritty guy that will do anything. He proved that in Vancouver. I was always impressed every time I watched him play.
Yeah, I would have liked maybe get a third round pick there, but
I thought you'd get more than a fourth. I did. I did. I thought you'd get more.
And he's only making like $1.2 million, so he's cheap. But the one thing that I like here, okay, you tried to extend this guy, you couldn't come to terms with him. You trade him for a pick instead of losing him for nothing.
I mean, you there.
Jim Benning was notorious for that. It's like he let Reddy and Verbato walk. He let Hamus walk. He let Toffoli walk. Markstrom, Tanev. I mean, all these guys just walked without nothing. No, who else am I missing here? Might be missing a couple more. The list is long. I mean, it's nice to see, like, okay, we're going to try and extend this guy. We like him. We want him part of the future. But if we can't come to terms with him, we got to get something for him. And, I mean, I'm going to pull up this picture here. I took a picture today. This might be a part of your questions here, but it was kind of interesting, I thought.
About draft picks?
Not draft picks, but, like, draft choices. Where is that? Oh, here it is. Okay, so it said, like, probability of playing 100 games.
Okay, Dole, that's one of my questions.
I took a screenshot because it was interesting.
So did I. We think alike because I took the same screenshot. So I want to
call. I looked at that and I'm like, Jesus.
That's why I took it because I was like, I got to talk to Blake and I got to talk about this. So we're going to talk about that in three questions. Pittsburgh acquires Ricard Raquel, a right winger, from the Anaheim Ducks for a 2022 second rounder, Zach Aston Reese, a left winger, Dominic Simone, a right winger, and Kale Klang.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good pickup for Pens.
Pittsburgh is for real.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of thought that Ricard Raquel might go to like Vegas.
They didn't have any money.
No. Like Dadnov go the other way.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
So like something like that. But I don't know, like, for Pittsburgh to add a top six forward to already, like, you added to Malkin, you got Russ, Crosby, now you had Raquel in there, you got Kapanen now, like, it's pretty good. I mean, we both picked them to miss the playoffs, and we're both looking pretty dumb there.
Let's pull it. Yeah, I did. You did too. We both picked them to miss the playoffs. Yeah. Well, they're going to be, they're actually one of my teams that I think are kind of a serious.
Goaltending might be an issue, though. We'll see.
Derek Brassard goes to the Edmonton Oilers for a fourth rounder. 50% of the salary is retained from the Flyers.
Yeah, depth center.
Yeah.
I mean, Brassard's not the player he was. Add some size, though, 6'1", 200 pounds. Let's see what he's got here. Career stats.
I don't know why I've never been impressed with Derek Brassard.
He's got 16 points in 31 games.
Yeah.
It's not terrible.
No.
But, I mean, he hasn't. Like, 3 years ago, he played on three different teams in 1 year. Like, he's just been.
Yeah.
Bounced around. He started in Columbus, went to the Rangers, was in that Zibanejad. Holy shit. Zibanejad trade. Then he went to Pittsburgh, Florida, Colorado, Islanders for a year, Arizona for a year, Philly for a year. Just like he's played for half the damn league.
I'll let you do this name. This is one of those trades that came in late, and I was like, how'd that even get through? But Max Domi ends up going to Carolina along with Tyler Inamoto, and Columbus gets Aiden Renshick, a defenseman. Florida Panthers acquired forward Igor Korshakov from Carolina in a 2022 sixth-round pick to retain 25% of Domi's salary. What a mess.
Yeah, it's a good pickup for Carolina.
You think so? I
wasn't sure if they were going to do anything because if it's not broke, don't fix it. But, I mean, Domi gives them depth up the middle. He can play the wing. He can play power play.
Let me ask you this question. If I had your name, and I'm not going to do it because I couldn't think of him if you put me in this position, but if I said, Blake, name me the top five overrated players in the league, would Max Domi's name not be on that?
I mean, like, he has 32 points in 53 games. It's not terrible.
I know.
24 and 54, 44 and 71, 72 and 82, like, he's not scoring like he did a couple years ago, but
I think you get what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, I mean, what, he was like a top 10 pick?
I don't even remember.
Let's see, is it on here?
All
overall, 2013.
Okay. Dallas acquires Vladislav Namestnikov from Detroit for a fourth rounder in 2024. I don't know what Dallas is doing. I don't even have a comment on this. But
Stevie Y, stockpile and picks.
Yeah, that's all that was. Another big move is the New York Rangers get Andrew Kopp from the Winnipeg Jets along with a 2023 sixth rounder for Morgan Barron, center. 2022 second rounder, 2023 second rounder, a 2020.
Yeah, those are conditional too, so I don't know. Like,
you want to hear what the conditions are? Here's the conditions.
I'll read it right now. Condition, second-round pick. Rangers' second-round pick becomes a first-round pick if they advance the Eastern Conference Final and Kopp plays 50% of the games. Conditional pick number two, St. Louis' second-round pick in 2022 or the Rangers' second-round pick in 2023. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, I could see them going to the Conference Final.
The Rangers?
It's a good team.
It is a really good.
They got the best goalie in the world right now.
Yeah.
They got a really good young decor that they just added to, right? Mm-hmm. And they add a top nine forward.
I don't know how you don't put him as a favorite in the East for sure.
You add Mott, who can play third line, fourth line, and you add Cobb, who can play second line, third line.
Both great playoff guys too.
Yeah, I mean, Mott did pretty good for the Canucks in the bubble.
No, but I mean,
he had like six goals.
Two guys that are like built for that style.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. The rest of the trades that went down, we've talked about the Dadonov one, so not.
That trade still hasn't gone through. So
yeah, so we're not even going into that. We'll roll through a couple quick signings, and then roll on into some other. Oh,
can we get to Henry Cetteri getting claimed? What a slime ball that was.
What? Explain this one to me. Okay, go for it. Explain.
So Harry Cetteri got signed by the Leafs 1 year, $750K out of Finland, okay?
Okay.
And apparently, like, you got to clear entry waivers when you come from a different league in an NHL.
I've heard that, yes.
And Arizona claimed him. Like, is that not an unwritten rule?
No, like, I love it.
It's just like, I like it because it's Toronto and that's just hilarious comedy that happened to him. But like,
I know. But yes.
I'd be like, That guy is never trading again with Dubas.
No.
That guy, Dubas deleted that guy's number out of his phone.
That whole Arizona organization, though, is just a gong show.
Only Arizona could do something like that.
I know.
That is just like, when I saw that, I laughed because it's funny and it's Toronto. But, yeah, it's that tough.
I'm not going to lie. When I saw it, I was just like, what? Just, I mean, I didn't even, I'd have you explain it. I didn't even understand right away, like what it all meant. Do you know what I mean?
It doesn't really make sense to me.
Couple of signings that happened today. Zach Parise supposedly signed a one-year, one-way contract with the Islanders for $750,000. Cal Clutterbuck.
$1.5 million.
Okay, $1.5 million.
No, $1.5 million.
Yeah, but $750,000 cap hit, though. I don't know how that works, but that's a cap friendly.
Sportsnet says 1.5.
Yeah, cap friendly says 1.5 with a cap hit of 750. I don't know what that means.
What's the pay for Cal Clutterbuck? 2 years, 1.75?
Cal Clutterbuck, 2 years, 1.75 each year.
Yeah, so 2, 3.5. Yeah, it's not bad.
Anton Forsberg.
Parise's been good.
When?
Parise's been good this year.
He has. He's been really good. Anton Forsberg, we talked about this one last week. I said Ottawa needs to sign this guy. They need to sign this guy, and they did. The 29-year-old.
2.25?
2.75. Yeah. And then we talked about this one last week as Kotkaniemi does. That deal did go through. 8 years, 4.82. Jake DeBrusk signs a 2-year deal at $4 million per year.
And I'll give you props on Hurdle.
Yeah, I guess I was right on one thing. We talked about Hampus Lindholm. And then, Hurdle signs. And you know what? You know, that blows my mind. You know what that tells me, though?
It's all about the money.
Yeah.
Another long contract for the Sharks, the big cap hit.
What are the Sharks doing, man? Like,
just keep tying them chains together behind the back. Chain them up.
God, that's stupid. Another interesting one today that has very little interest in the league, but has interest for me. 24-year-old Blake Lizotte re-signs with the Kings for 2 years at $1.675 million. You're not going to find a nicer kid. And good to see him. He's just a hardworking little guy that gets the job done in the center. A couple questions for you on this deadline, and we're going to move into some other things. But were you surprised at the amount of moves, or was it what you expected?
Well, when I was a little kid, I always used to, not go to school, pretend I'm sick, curl up on the couch, kick up the feet, and watch trade deadline every day. And now it's just it's so overrated. Because, A, either deals get done 2-3 days before like they did this year, or just nothing happens. And I just don't like it anymore. It's just overhyped.
It is overhyped, but I enjoy the day.
They do an 8-hour production. It's just let's go talk to Sarah Lesk and get her thoughts. It's where's the trades? Come on.
I enjoy it. I mean, it was about what I thought today. I enjoy the coverage. I watched both TSN and Sportsnet today, and it was fine. I mean, it is what it is. I've learned over the years to lower my expectations.
Right.
You know, so it's not so bad. What was the most surprising move?
Surprising move? I mean, the Hagel return was a little surprising.
Yeah.
Raquel to Pittsburgh, I kind of came out of left field.
Yeah, that did.
I didn't really think that would happen.
I thought the Kotkaniemi to San Jose. I, the whole time I was thinking,
I was a little surprised that Vancouver didn't move Garland or something.
I wasn't. I think Vancouver's looking at what they have.
There was just a lot of smoke leading up to it.
Yeah.
I thought.
No, I know. I was kind of back and forth on it. I thought for a while things were going to happen in Vancouver.
They didn't talk about the Hamburglar going to New Jersey.
Gosh. God, we only got so many minutes here. We can't talk all night. My biggest surprise was I just can't believe Edmonton didn't do much.
They added Kulak and Brassard.
Oh, yeah. Wait, forget it. I take that back now. What team made out the best today?
Well, it's got to be... I think the Rangers. Rangers. The Rangers or... I don't mind Colorado, Cogliano and Lehkonen. I don't mind that. Minnesota getting Fleury is a little backup there.
Yeah.
Don't mind that.
I think,
yeah, I would say, I think the Rangers. I would say Pittsburgh getting Raquel or the Rangers.
Yeah. Who are your Stanley Cup contenders out of the East and out of the West right now? Well, the rosters are set. My list got bigger.
Well, like I said, every team got better except Toronto.
I know.
So
my list got bigger. The East is.
I would say the Rangers, Pittsburgh, Carolina, Florida, Tampa.
That's what I said too. What do you say in the East or the West? Excuse me, the West.
I would go Calgary. Calgary, Colorado. That's it.
Do you put Vegas in there?
No.
They have $37 million on LTI right now.
I'd be hard-pressed to even make them a playoff team right now.
Really?
They just have too many injuries.
I know. It's just
I just don't know if they can overcome it.
And then when they do get healthy, they still have goaltending issues in my mind. So I don't know. But yeah, they're also a team that we might be looking at in the middle of June going, hey, they just got healthy, you know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Up and down season for a lot of teams. But, you know, you look at the Atlantic, and that got decided really early, and everybody things been kind of status quo. The Metropolitan kind of got decided early, and everything's been status quo. The Central, a couple teams have been all over the place. The teams that you can't really figure out in that division have been Dallas and Winnipeg. Of those two teams, do you think either one of them has a hope of making the playoffs?
Well, Winnipeg basically threw in the white towel today.
Yep, they did.
So
I think Dallas has a chance of it. I just don't know. And then you look at the Pacific Division, and it's all over the place. Like, every team's had bad stretches. I mean, literally every
team. Well, Vancouver was a point out with a seven-game homestand.
I know.
2-3-2, and now they're 5 points out. I mean, so their season's over.
Yeah, so, I mean, I look at it now as Seattle, San Jose, and Anaheim. I just think San Jose in the middle of December was in the playoffs. I mean, that division went all over the place, but I think that one's pretty much set now, and I think it's Calgary, Edmonton, L.A. are going to be in. Vegas is kind of depends on what happens with Dallas, and then I think Vancouver's probably played themselves out of it. I guess you just don't know. I can't imagine. You never know what can happen, though. But
it's over.
It could.
No, it's not.
All right, time to go around the league. Just a couple news and notes, and then we're going to get on over to, I think, a pretty good three questions today. Claude Giroux celebrated his 1,000th game, and so did Mark Giordano. Giroux got to play. Giordano was scratched that night. Both guys get moved. That had to be an awkward situation, didn't it?
Yeah, I understood why they did it with Gio, because they probably knew they had a deal in place for him. And yeah. So, I mean, asset protection.
I think both guys.
A lot of teams do that. Sherratt did that with Montreal. So, I mean, they're just being smart about it. They know they got deals in place. So, I mean, better be safe than sorry.
Ekblad injured in Florida, placed on long-term injured reserve. Is that a hit for the Florida
Panthers?
He's
had tough luck.
He has, and he's so
good.
Well,
he broke
his
leg last year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he has had tough luck. Surprising goal getters. I pulled up the top 15 in goals this year. And there's a couple names that I never thought I would see on it. Chris Kreider at 3 still?
Let me do some guessing.
Okay, well, you want to guess?
Goals?
Just goals.
Mangiapane.
Yeah, he's 15th in the league with 30. Jason Robertson is 14th. Did you ever think that would happen? Matt Duchene. No. Matt Duchene's back. He's in the 11th spot.
Yeah.
Alex,
well, who's leading? Is it still Matthews?
Matthews leads it with 46, Draisaitl with 41, and Kreider with 41. Ovechkin has 40, and Kyle Connor has 39. A drop-off then down to McDavid at 35, DeBrincat at 34.
Well, you knew he's had a good year. Did you say Duchene?
Yeah, that's what I was just saying.
He has 32 goals.
He's really had a good year. He's 63 points. He's having a really, really good year.
Troy Terry?
Yeah, he's not in the top 15. Having a good year, though.
Calgary has, what, two? Top 15, and Lindholm?
Him and Lindholm, yeah. Got a couple of them at, like, 18, 19, too. Mm-hmm. Colgren to the rescue in Toronto. Is this guy going to get some more playing time, or are they just going to use him as a stopgap until Campbell comes back?
Well, his Vezina case went out the door and we let in 5 goals against Nashville, so that's tough.
He had a bad night.
Yeah, tough night for him. Oof. But yeah, I mean, he's going to have to, because there's nobody else right now. Mrazek went on waivers. I don't know if he's going to clear. He cleared. I don't know if he's going to go down to the A, or they're just doing it for cap reasons. But
they sent him down.
That's tough.
Yeah. Crazy. They gave him the money. It's crazy. Did you see?
Yeah, they still got 2 years left out there. So
I know.
Good luck with that.
Did you see Duchene's hit on Andre Kaz? Or what was it? I don't know if it was a hit or not.
You just ran into him.
I know.
It's not dirty.
I know. That's all. I just wanted to get your opinion. I agree with you.
Was all up in air. What do you want? A 6-game suspect for him.
He didn't even move his arm.
No, he literally just skated into him.
Yeah. Like I was just wanting
tough,
to.
Top outcome, but.
Yeah. I just wanted to get your take on it, because I was like, am I looking at this wrong? Am I not seeing this? Am I missing
it's like
something?
It's like the McKinnon hit on, or Hall hit on McKinnon.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's an unfortunate outcome.
Yeah, crazy. Time for 3 questions.
It's time for 3 questions.
All right, time for 3 questions. My turn to ask Blake this week. He'll fire back at me next week. All right, question number 1. What coach has the all-time best and most entertaining press conferences?
Oh, Darryl Sutter, that's an easy one.
Well, there's
no up cows and horses in 10 minutes.
I got 3 of them for you to read this
one
week.
Liar.
Yeah, it's a waste of 8 days to replace Colorado in the first round.
Did you hear what he said today?
No.
They asked him, is it a distraction for the players? Is NHL trade deadline day a distraction for the players? He's like, I don't know. Ask the players. I'm the coach. I can't get traded. I can get fired today. I can't get traded, but I can get fired.
Such a dumbass.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear what he said about Cale Yarncroft?
Showed up cows and horses in 10 minutes.
I'll read that one. Sutter was angriest after the game the other night because of the fact that it took 33 minutes to stitch up Erica Branson. He said, I could have done it in 5 minutes. I saw horses and cows up in 10. Then he also goes on to earlier this week to talk about apparently Lindholm and Markstrom were all over him and Treliving to get Yarncroft into town. And he said, we had his cousin and the goalie hitting you over the head. He said, we had his cousin and the goalie hitting you over the head about it. I told Lindy, you better be careful. If you think he's that good, he'll take your ice time. Oh, man. A couple other good coaches I really like, though. I love Bruce Boudreau's, too. I like his. His are entertaining. And I kind of miss John Tortorella once in a while, too.
Let's call a spade here. You need to make a spade.
But Sutter's aren't, like, Tortorella's were always abrasive, you know? Where Sutter's,
just, like,
Sutter's are just funny. Just funny. Yeah. Rolling on to question number two. What day are you? Do you get most excited for? Draft day, free agent day, or trade deadline day?
Probably July 1st.
Yeah. I still like trade deadline.
Depends where you are in the draft.
I know. Well,
if you have a top five pick, then you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's also not very fun when you have a top five pick. I mean, your team sucks.
I know. So I don't know. I think almost free agency day is almost taking over the.
But
the
as fun. A Canucks fan, I wasn't really a fan of free agency because old Jimbo Benning just blew his wad every year. So on shit players. So
you always loved that day, but you didn't like it the next month.
Didn't like it the next day. Tyler Myers is still haunting my dreams.
All right, here's my question number three. How much value do you place on draft picks? Can you build a champion team through the draft?
Well, me and the assistant coach in Sam Arm literally had this debate the other day.
Well, perfect. That's and a we, good thing I thought
and
of this
we
question.
We went through what teams? We went through Calgary. We went through Colorado, Tampa, Boston. We talked about like first round picks that they drafted, or if they traded a first round pick to get a player, or if a player was a first round pick in another organization. Tampa Bay only has seven guys.
Really?
Like
the only team
like Braden Point, third rounder Kucherov, late second. Like
the
one that comes to mind, like. Would be Colorado. You got McKinnon. You got Makar, Rantanen. Kadri was a first-round pick.
But they didn't pick him.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, he's a first-round pick. Like,
yeah. Let's talk about the screenshot that we both took today, and the probability of playing 100 games. And it was shocking to me.
Yep.
A 1-10 pick. Has 95% chance of playing 100 games. An 11-21 first round pick has 78% chance. A 22-32 first rounder has a 60% chance. A second rounder has a 42% chance. A third rounder has a 27% chance. A fourth rounder has a 21% chance. A fifth rounder has a 17% chance. A sixth rounder has a 16% chance. And a seventh rounder has an 11% chance. When you saw that, and it obviously must have, for me and you both to take a picture of it, were you surprised?
I'm surprised that, from 22nd to the second round is that low.
Yeah.
Like, that just goes to show you that draft picks are, there's no for sures.
No. No.
So, you can trade for all the picks you want. I have 13 picks in this draft.
That's no guarantee of
Maybe
success.
Two of them are going to be successful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was it was really very interesting. Obviously, 1 to 10 is going to be high. Those are legit players. If you don't hit on the top 10 pick, what are you doing? You know what I mean? But never mind. The Canucks missed on two of those. So I don't know.
It happens. It happens to every team. If you take a look.
Yeah.
It does. It happens to every single team. But yeah, you can't afford to not hit.
It's tough. It's tough when you miss on a top five pick, though.
It sets you back.
Olio Levy, that's tough.
Yeah. Sets you back, man. It really, really sets you back. Listener question. Should there be an age stipulation on the Calder Trophy?
Oh, you're talking the 35-year-old Michael Bunting who might win?
The reason I brought this up is because there was a lot of talk on Facebook this week about it. Where last year, the TSN media was complaining because Kirill Kaprizov was 23
too
last
old,
year.
And then they're hypocritical and then said Bunting should win. Yeah, yep. The Toronto Sports Network added it again. Yeah.
Yep, Bunting's 20.
Funny how that works.
He's 26, and they're literally campaigning for him to win the Calder.
Funny how that works. Kaprizov's younger than him, too.
I know.
It's funny how that works.
Should there be an age stipulation?
Yeah, there should. Should have to be under 22 years old.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. what is it now, 27?
Like, I don't even know. I don't know if there is one. Is there a stipulation?
I think it should have to be like a certain amount of games.
Yeah, it's a certain amount of games. It's like 23 games or something like that. But I don't know. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with the rule. I mean, how often does it happen? Usually it's
just
not
funny
a
how TSN did
that's I know. That's why I wanted to get you going on that, because I know how you
typical.
You love their reporting.
Typical.
But I don't know. Trade deadline, another one in the books. Good trade deadline, I guess. Some teams made hay, like the New York Rangers, like the Pittsburgh Penguins. I guess some people would say the Calgary Flames. I don't know. We'll see what happens here as we head down the stretch. Thanks for joining us for another year of NHL trade deadline stuff. Blake and I love this day, the excitement. Teams trying to make that important last step to get to that Stanley Cup. We're back again next Monday night for another edition of the Debate Hockey Podcast as it starts now, the race for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Enjoy this week's hockey action, and we're back again next Monday night for another hour of Hockey Talk. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey, and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars_Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.